Imagine green pearls rolling around on your plate. Now you bite. The outside is crisp and cool, but inside, warm, lush basil sauce. Well, this is modernist cuisine, the approach to cooking that has chefs rethinking everything that they know. The term Renaissance man is thrown around a lot, but Nathan Myhrvold is the real thing, and he's the man behind modernist cuisine. Now, when Nathan was a little kid, he was given a plastic camera. He's now an award-winning photographer. That same little kid loved dinosaurs. Now he presents papers on them at universities. He was Microsoft's first chief technology officer. Today, he's creating a nuclear reactor with Bill Gates. Plus, he has degrees in physics, mathematics, and space science. So you can imagine that when a man like Nathan turns his hand to cooking, nothing is going to be ordinary. Well, after much research, in 2008, Nathan delivered his six-volume Modernist Cuisine with amazing photos, and it was an instant bestseller and mind-blower with food pros. Next was Modernist Cuisine for the Home, and now he has published, at 13 pounds and nearly the size of a coffee table, The Photography of Modernist Cuisine. Nathan, good to have you join us.
Well, thank you.
I'd like to talk about your path. You've done all of these things, plus working with the physicist Stephen Hawking. How did food come into this?
So I grew up almost next door to a library. And when I was 9 years old, I discovered the cookbook section. And I started reading cookbooks, and I came and announced to my mother I was going to cook Thanksgiving dinner all by myself. I had to go to the store by myself and cook it all. And so I got all these cookbooks and I read all of them. I got Escoffier. It turned out that wasn't very helpful for Thanksgiving dinner. and I cooked the dinner. And sort of from that time forward, I was very interested in food. Around that time, I also got my first camera. And I was fascinated with photography. Ansel Adams came to speak at UCLA. I grew up in Los Angeles. And my mother got me a ticket, so I went and I got to hear Ansel Adams talk. And so I was fascinated with photography. And my book projects have managed to combine these two long-term passions, food and photography. Then when I was working at Microsoft, I asked Bill Gates for a leave of absence so I could go to chef school in France. And he let me do it. Of course, the chef school wouldn't take me unless I had work experience. So I actually worked 1 day a week for a couple years at a French restaurant in Seattle. I'd go in around noon and prep for dinner and cook through dinner and then go home.
So you had all this background, but you now are working in something you've coined modernist cuisine. A lot of people call it, you know, by other names, but this essentially new approach to food science and looking at methods of cooking that we kind of turn inside out and upside down. How did the science piece get in there?
Well, another long-term passion was science. When I was 2 years old, according to my mother, I told her I was going to be a scientist. And while growing up, I was really good at school. I was really good at science things. And that's why I wound up being a physicist and working with Stephen Hawking. So the food path of my life and the science path were really pretty different. But then in the 1980s, a guy named Harold McGee published a book called On Food and Cooking, which really started showing how science was relevant to cooking. And after I retired from Microsoft in 1999, I got more and more into cooking, and I realized that there were a bunch of people like Ferran Adrià of Spain, Heston Blumenthal in the UK, and others who were trying to apply ideas from science to create new kinds of dishes. So I thought, hey, this is great. I need to learn this. Surely there is some big book that explains it all, and I'll get that book, and this will be great. Only I couldn't find that big book. In fact, there was no easy way to learn about modern culinary techniques. By modern, I mean techniques invented in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of the really interesting stuff that had been invented by chefs in the 80s and 90s and then into the 21st century, that was really hard to pick up. So I started picking it up and learning from the chefs who were doing it. And I eventually decided, you know, because I couldn't buy that big book that explained it, maybe I should write it. And I embarked on a process that ultimately led to my first cookbook. So this latest book takes some pictures that were from previous books, but also an awful lot of new pictures that didn't occur in those books, and then puts them on really big paper with really nice high-quality printing to show the photographs and only the photographs without the distraction of the text and the distraction of the pedagogical aspects that those other books really had.
Do you have any advice for amateur food photographers?
Well, you know, photography is about recording light. And so you've got to have a lighting situation that produces really pleasant light. And usually that doesn't occur from having a single harsh light on things. So the single best way to take pictures of your food is to, first of all, get it in a light that's appealing. Usually that is going to mean turning off the flash for your camera or your phone, because the flash will overwhelm the existing light, usually, and that will create a very harsh thing, like a deer caught in the headlights sort of look on the food. Whereas if you have light often coming from one side that's a little bit more natural and diffuse, it works wonders. It turns out that our eyes, human eyes, are very good at doing the ratio of very dark to very bright things. We can see very, very large differences in light to dark. A camera, not so much. And as a result, you either wind up having the highlights all blown out in white, or the highlights are okay and the shadows are inky black and you can't see any detail in them.
Mm-hmm.
So you always need more even lighting for a camera than you do for your naked eye. And that's why gentle reflection, reflection off of, if you don't have a window, shine a bright light against a white wall. That works very well.
And that'll bounce to the object.
Exactly. And what you're creating is a diffuse, gentle light source. And for most food, that's really what you want.
Nathan, what goes on in your kitchen around the holidays?
Well, food is part of holiday celebrations. It really isn't a holiday if you're not celebrating with food of some sort. And then you have to make the decision, do you do things that are traditionally oriented? So do you have turkey, for example, or do you go in a non-traditional way? And I like to mix it up. I love turkey thighs cooked in the style of duck confit. So you cook them at low temperature for a period of time with a little bit of fat or oil, and it creates this amazing texture. It's always worth exploring things beyond what the original ideas are, so almost any great entree can be adapted to the holidays. To me, I think it's more the spirit of how you share the food and the process that goes around it, and the feeling of abundance and sharing, than it is the specific dishes.
Nathan, it's exactly the spirit of this time of year. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you.
Nathan Myhrvold is the author of The Photography of Modernist Cuisine, and he left us with a very reasonable and delicious recipe for sweet potato soup. And you can find it on the website, splendidtable.org.